Mrs. Ina Stevens, Rear 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mrs. Stevens?
I was born in Blyth, Northumberland, on the 12th of March, 1924.
And could you tell us a bit about your family background?
Yes, I was the ninth child of 10 children. My father was a sailor in the Merchant Navy, but my mother used to get tired of him being away so much, so he turned to the mines, but he couldn't take it, and he went back to the sea.
And what sort of an upbringing did you have? That's a big family.
Well, no money, but a wonderful mother. Wonderful mother. And happy. A very happy childhood. With hardly any money.
What sort of house did you live in?
Actually, I was lucky. We lived in a council house, but we had a bathroom from the day I was born. We were one when we moved into that house, and yet we had all the facilities. And people talk about the North and say they've not got this and not got that, but we were very all right. Poor but happy.
And where did you go to school? In Blyth?
Yes, Blyth, Northumberland.
And tell us about your school.
Oh, it was a very good school. It was called Princess Louise Road, and we called it PLR. And when we played netball, we called ourselves Pretty Little Roses, and the other side used to call us Potty Little Rotters. I remember that very clearly.
And how did you do at school?
I was in an A class all the time. And then I left school on the 14th of April, 1938. And I went to a domestic college, which was very happy for me. I learned how to do everything correctly in the house.
You were planning to go into service, were you?
I was planning to be a nanny. And these things all come into it.
And tell me about what you learned at the domestic college.
Oh, I learned lots of things. How to turn sheets, towels, how to do washing, peg it out, take it in, fold it, air it, mangle it. It was a very happy time. And I lived in a mining town.
Whereabouts?
So, Blyth.
We
had four mines. So every time when you went, like, lunchtime, when you're on your way home, there was miners sitting next to you on the bus with the coal dust on them, because they didn't have pit paths then. And it was just a very, very happy time, beside the seaside.
Were you aware of what was going on in Europe, you know, Germany?
Yes, we were. In 1938, we had a big fright when Chamberlain went to Berlin, and he came back. Everybody around me, and I was only 14, but I listen, I always listen, they said that would give us a year to prepare for war. So we knew it was coming. In the back of our minds, somebody said, we've got nothing. No airplanes, nothing. So, really, there was a rush for gas masks in 38. And I remember my sister was nervous about putting one on, and my mother slapping her face to...
Were these issued by the government? Or?
Yes, government issue.
What do you remember of that then?
I just remember them fitting it and the smell of the rubber. I can see it. And it's sort of a... You know how pigs have... It reminded me of that. When you put it on, it was shaped with a nozzle and straps round the head. And for babies, it was like a little carry cot.
And how did they fit them to... I mean, what were...
You stood and they... You put your chin in first. I can smell the rubber now. And pulled it over the head. And then it clung. Right over. And you carried them in a little box.
And what was it like breathing in them? Did you test it out?
Yes. It wasn't too bad. And I'm claustrophobic. I didn't really like them, but I didn't find it too bad.
And what other preparations were you aware of in Blyth for war?
When it actually happened.
Beforehand, really?
Beforehand. Well, I can't just say... I can't say there was anything else but that scare with the gas masks.
So the issue of gas masks.
That's right, the issue of gas masks.
No digging air raids.
No.
So you were still at the domestic college
yes.
in Blyth in 1939, I presume. Were you?
I did a year there.
When did you leave then?
April 1948. I did a year. It must have been 39.
And so what did you do then?
My mother kept me at home because I only had one more sister at home, and she was 3 years younger than me, and my mother wanted, well, she kept me at home to help her. She was 38 when I was born, so she wasn't all that young. And she thought, well, I'll keep her as long as I can. And then I was like everybody else. I was dying to get away from Blythe because there was no jobs, you know. You couldn't get a job unless you knew somebody in the know. Ridiculous, but that's how it happened.
So had you left before the war started? Or?
Yes. I applied for and got a nanny job. I always loved babies. And it was down in Sutton in Surrey. And I left home on the 20th of July, 1939, which was 2 months before the war started. And the family I was with were going on holiday. And this was the Saturday before. We went on the 2nd of September down to Middleton-on-Sea. On the 3rd of September, war was declared.
And what do you remember of that?
I remember it. We had roast turkey and sausages and bacon rolls and baked potatoes and peas, and then we had apple pie and cream. That was for lunch to celebrate the first day on holiday. But 11 o'clock, I remember, we were all listening to the radio and those dreaded tones of Chamberlain. We are now at war. And I thought, oh, my goodness. And immediately, I don't know why, you think of the little baby. What's going to happen to this little baby? And I remember they were talking with two spinsters next door who were spinsters from the First World War. They'd both lost their boyfriends, and they were crying because they said they gladly gave their boyfriends up when they thought that would be the war to end all wars, but it wasn't. And that's why they were crying, because they'd lost their partners in vain. And that struck me. You know, I was only 15, but I was really, really impressed with that.
Now, tell me a bit about your work as nanny, because we're quite interested in that. What was
yes.
sort of typical day's routine as a nanny?
Get the baby up, bath it, change its nappy, feed it, and take it for a walk in the pram. That was very important. You always took the baby out, and before 10 o'clock in the morning.
Why before 10?
I don't know. That is it. And I've been the same with my children. Always out before 10, in the garden or walking. Because that's when you get the best fresh air. I think it's when the dampness is gone. And, you know, but 10 o'clock.
So after the morning walk, what then?
That's right. After the morning, I used to get some shopping while I was out and come home and help to cook the lunch. I made the best Yorkshire pudding I've ever made in my life then, and I was only 15. And, yes, it was quite... And, of course, I loved children. I always did. So that was very happy for me, and I used to get one half day a week, and it was from 2 o'clock till night, and you had to be in at 10. And I used to go and visit one of my brothers who lived down there. One week I would go to my brother Bob, and the next week I would go to my brother Walter, so they could keep an eye on me. I used to get 10 shillings a week, and I sent 7 and 6 months home because my mother was a widow. And I used to spend...
Your father had died by then?
My father had died in an accident when I was 5.
And so you were enjoying the work. How did... I mean, did the mother treat you well, your employer?
Yes, they were very nice. He was an engineer. And their name was Campbell. And as soon as the war started, my goodness, he was posted straight away to... what did that call that? He was posted straight away.
Doesn't matter, yeah.
And I was left sort of hanging in the air. So I got a job at the Sutton Cheam Hospital. And
so when did you start that?
About a week. We came back after a week. So it would be the end of September.
And what were you doing at the hospital?
cleaning the wards.
So basically a cleaner.
Yes, that's all I could get. You know, I was sort of flung. You know, they said, sorry, we've got to go and we can't take you with us. Slough. That's where he was posted. Slough, I knew I'd remember. I don't know why he was posted there, but he was an engineer and the government said, you must go to Slough, and to Slough he went. Because people were taken over straight away, you know, when the war started. You couldn't do, you know, you had to do as you were told.
Now, just cleaning at Sutton Hospital. Yes. What about preparations for war? Any visible preparations?
Oh, yes, there was the society ladies, these Red Cross nurses, you know, with these flowing white veils for hats and Red Cross on the front. And, oh, and they were all anxious to do something, you know. There was a lot of that going on. And
what other preparations?
Well, while we were on our way down to the seaside when we went on that holiday, I noticed men digging in sand pits. And I said, what are they doing? And Mr. Cameron says, actually, he says, they're filling sandbags. And I thought, I wonder why they need sand. And then it dawned on me afterwards, why? Because they were all, every time you saw the news, they were piled up outside the Foreign Office and all the big important buildings. They were all cushioned with sandbags.
Were you very aware of the threat from the air?
Yes, we were. We waited for it all the time, you know, with trepidation. Oh, you know, but you can't remain in that state all the time. So you get used to it, to gradually, to troops coming in, and things were happening all the time. And then they hotted up in May.
So you were working at the... At the hospital up till May?
Yes. No, I finished it because my sister was, her job changed, and she said, would you come with me to this house? She said, I've got a job there and it's quite easy. She says, all you have to do is do the bedrooms. And so I was there in this house in Cheam when things came to a head.
So you were working as a maid in Cheam?
Yes.
At an ordinary private house?
Yes.
And what were you, just before we go into, you know, what did you have to do there? Can you tell us what a day was like there, roughly?
It's helping all round again. People take advantage of you in a way. You did a bit of everything. You helped with the cooking or washed up after the cooking or cleaned the bedrooms and the bathrooms and all sorts of things. Ironing. They won't do it now without extra money. We did it all for the same. Oh, and what I didn't like was cleaning and kneeling down in the air raid shelter because there was raw cement that stuck in my knees.
Now tell me about the air raid shelter.
Yes, that was built under the house. And one day, I remember this, that's where I met Peter. He was biding his time doing the garden till he could join up. One day, I looked down the lovely garden and at the end, an aeroplane came right down and crash-landed right at the bottom of the garden. And we rushed out, but they were all right. It was a forced landing.
British?
Yes. Oh, yes. It was one of ours. And they had to stay with the aeroplane till it was repaired. So, naturally, we had the airmen in. It was quite interesting. And that fostered his wish. He thought, that's it. I'm going in the Air Force. And he did.
Now, so, in May, things started to happen.
Yes, I always remember this because you know what came out at the time? Gone with the Wind. It was, you know, all the publicity, this marvellous film. And that's when I had the radio on and I was here. And I thought, my God, they haven't got there already, have they? And they just swept through all the countries. Belgium, Holland. I mean, and it was terrible to see France. We had pictures because the Americans weren't in the war. So the Americans were there with their news cameras. So we saw it all, and it was the most saddest day to see the Germans march into Paris and stop at that lovely church called the Madeleine, is it? Or was it the Sacré-Cœur? The Sacré-Cœur, the one that's up on the hill. And there was Hitler standing there. Oh, awful. But... It was a very momentous time. I remember that so clear. And about the and nobody knew about Dunkirk. Nobody said a flotilla of little ships are going to gather and go off across the sea. It was just over before everybody knew about it. But the men that went knew, because they were approached. Anybody with a vessel were asked to go.
And so what happened next then?
Well, there was a flood of refugees. Absolute flood of them. Well, there would be. Some of them...
French and Belgian.
French and Belgian, Dutch. And they all joined our air force, or Polish. There was a lot of Poles. Actually, a lot of Poles married Scottish girls. If you go to Scotland, you'll find there's half the population that's half Polish. Funny that.
And what contact did you have with the refugees?
I didn't, but where I was working, she used to go and help. And she thought she was doing a great job. And every day she came and went out a bath in Dettol, in case we pick anything up off the refugees. And London was full of uniforms. Absolutely full of uniforms. You couldn't go anywhere. But I had a row because, I don't know, it was something to do with my knee, bad knee, and I was on the concrete in the air raid shelter. And so I left. My sister stayed on, but I left and went up home.
Now, when was that?
I'll tell you. It was in July.
1940.
Now, I must have been psychic because the bombing started in the August. Actually, the first bomb that fell was on a hillside in Scotland and it killed a cow. But after that, the bombing started. I know because my sister wrote and she said, I can't get my hair washed. Every time I put my head, go to the hairdresser or something, the air raid siren goes. But it did start then, and it really, that was in 1940, remember, and it escalated to the Battle of Britain.
Now, you'd come back to Blyth. What were you doing in Blyth?
Well, I worked in Woolworths for a time, but I was agitating to get away, because I wanted to join up, but I was too young. I was only 16 then.
What was work in Woolworths like then?
Very nice. Very nice. I liked it because I met a lot of people. And then my cousin, Rosamond, she wrote and said, well, I come to this hotel. And I thought, well, I've still got a time to wait before I'm old enough. So I marked time in this hotel in Yorkshire. And I used to meet all these people escaping from the bombing. They used to come down for the weekend just to get away. And the pictures of their houses, oh, beautiful houses, all bombed and...
Whereabouts in Yorkshire were you?
I'll tell you. It was Clapham. Clapham Village in Yorkshire.
Where's that near?
It's near Settle, yes. I worked there and it was really interesting meeting people that came there because all their children were in a boarding school in the village.
Now, when have you gone there then? You'd gone back to Blyth in July for 1940.
Yes, worked in Woolworths, and my cousin Rosamond asked me to go there to fill in the time. And while I was there...
So when did you go to Settle?
I went to Settle about September.
So you'd only been back in Blyth a couple
of
months?
Yes, yes, I was only filling in. Everybody wanted to join up.
And why did you want to join up? I mean, could you explain how you felt about it?
Yes. I'm an ordinary English person, and when anything threatens your country, like Hitler did, all you want to do is do something. I remember listening to one of Churchill's speeches when he said, we will fight them on the beaches, and I thought, yes, yes. I know I'm 77 now, but by goodness, I was raring to go. And I had another reason later on. While I was in the hotel in Yorkshire, I got word to say that my favourite brother, in fact, the only one I liked out of them all, had been killed by a bomb at the Battersea Power Station. Him and my eldest brother were working, and it was daylight bombing, 25th of October 1940, and one of the men got a bit hysterical because the bombs were dropping nearer and nearer, and my eldest brother said, come on, he says, I'll take you down the shelter. The man was so paralysed with terror, he had to help him down, and it was fate, because while he was down, the bomb dropped, a direct hit.
On the shelter?
On the power station, Battersea, and my favourite brother was killed. He was buried for 3 days. And that made me more and more. I was filled with hate for the Germans. And so I was dying to join up.
So you were still working in the hotel at Clapham?
Yes.
And what happened
next? And then, when I was 17 and 2 months, March, April, no, 17 and 1 month, you were supposed to be 17 and a half when you joined up, but I told a lie. And I joined up then, and I went, and I was posted to Skegness.
Now, what about that? How did you actually join up? How did you go about it? Where did you...
Well, my friend Mavis...
You weren't conscripted, you volunteered.
That's right. You weren't conscripted until you were 17 and a half, and you had several choices. You had the ATS, you had the WAFs, you had the Wrens, you had the Land Army, or you had munitions. Or anything to do with food, I don't think they were sent away. I don't think they sent chefs away. They didn't have to, though, in a way, because the chefs were older. They went for all the young boys.
So, where did you go to volunteer?
I wrote and volunteered for the Navy, Army, Air Force Institutes. And my friend had already joined them, and she told me about it, and I thought, oh, I'll join them, because I didn't like being regimentated. So that was good. It was civilian, but war.
So what happened? Where did you go then?
Oh, I went to Skegness. First, I went to a place in Lincolnshire. It was called Alford. Alford, I think, yes. And it was a big field. There was nothing there. And they put up a big marquee. And it was a summer camp for all these men. And the door opened. And the manager was standing there. And I saw these sea of faces, and they come surging in, and I turned to go, and the manager plucked me back, and he said, watch me. So I watched him.
You hadn't had any training then?
No! I watched him. Well, I had. I'd worked in Woolworths. That's handling money. I was good with money. And he watched me, and I watched him, and I marvelled at him. Yes, sir, thank you. That's it. And he never stopped talking. And I just automatically did what he did. And I soon got into it.
So this NAFI campaign was just a big tent in a field?
Oh, yes. Big tent in a field, and we slept under canvas. Very exciting. I'd never done it before. And I always remember the sound of the wood pigeons early in the morning. The wood pigeons. And the sheep coming in the tent. I had quite a lark there.
Now, what exactly was in the tent?
Camp beds. Camp beds and your kit bag. A kind of a kit bag.
Sorry, no, I mean the canteen tent.
Or the canteen tent. Forms. Wooden forms and tables. Very basic. And we sold chocolates, cigarettes, razor blades, all the little things that a man needs when he's on a camp.
And what else did you say? Because you sold drinks and food as
That's
well.
That's right.
What drinks and food?
Oh, all kinds of food. Basically, shepherd pie, sausages, sausage and mash, sausage and onions. And steak pie. They loved steak pie. They used to make big steak pies. I learned to make them.
I was wondering who made the food.
We had cooks. And they got more money in the summer because it's red hot cooking, especially under canvas and red hot weather.
Oh. So you were... What was your job called?
I just don't know.
Canteen assistant? Or
yes, canteen assistant. And then I got to be the manager.
But not then?
Not then, no.
And so What was a typical day like as a canteen assistant at Alford?
Get up very early and you go to the tray. You know, you washed. There was a tap. You turned it on and then there was a long tray, just like you see pigs eating from. It was a trough. And the water came in there and you all washed and cleaned your teeth. And if you wanted a bigger wash, you had got a receptacle and took some water back to your tent and washed yourself all the way down and all the way up.
And then what?
And then you went and you rearranged the stand, made sure all the dishes were there, and we got time off to go into a village. But mostly we were on from 9 o'clock in the morning till about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and then from 2 to 5 we were free.
Well, tell me about the preparations first. How would you go about preparing?
Well, there were urns of tea. The first thing you did was make the tea. You put the, you know, there was, I can't remember the actual stove, but I can see the flames licking up. There was a big kind of stove. I don't know what they use. What's that gas they use when you
is it Calla?
Yes, I think it was Calla gas, and they used that to heat up the water and the tea for the tea. And the men always asked for a cup of cha, and I used to think, what's cha? And then I realised that's in India, that's what they call tea. And
so, what other preparations? You put the tea urn on.
Yes.
What else?
Cutting sandwiches, and the cook would make pies, and you'd sell them hot, and the men used to come in after they'd done their exercises, and they'd come in, race in, and they'd have about 10 minutes, and I'd got to be an expert. I'd be pouring out mugs of tea and putting them, lining them up, so that when they came in, I was all ready, just to take the money and
so it was a rush. Change.
It was a rush, but I was told I was the fastest one there. So I soon got into it. You didn't hang about.
And what would most of them buy?
Donut and a cup of tea. Cigarettes. They were all after cigarettes. Kit Kat. Oh, they love their Kit. It's been gone for a long time. Oh, yes, they love Kit Kat with a cup of tea. Mug of tea. And that was in the morning, though. The cooked meals weren't till... Because they had a... They had
when
their
you
own
say morning, do you mean lunch?
Yes, the morning. Yes, this is the morning break for the men.
So you mean 11 o'clock?
Yes.
And then, so the rest of the morning, what would you be doing then?
Washing up. Oh, washing up. You washed up from morning till night. But you met some very interesting people.
Tell me about the washing up.
Oh, we used to wash up and go to bed sometimes 1 o'clock in the morning, too tired to undress. I've staggered to bed lots of times and not even been able to undress, and woke up in the middle of the night and took my clothes off and got into bed.
Did you have enough sort of washing up liquid and hot water?
We used soda, and it was awful on the hands. We didn't have soda.
What?
Soda, common soda, to clean the dishes. And no rubber gloves, nothing like that.